here again. Shall we, you just remain seated? We'll sing number 182, We're Together Again.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. Together again, just praising the Lord. Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I stand, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus.
Amen. You just can't get some people to sit down, can you? It's all right. It's been number 68. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Amen. You will.
I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Dear Lord, oh dear Lord.
Can we sing 171? I don't know. I was hoping you could tell me. As long as someone can start it.
Since I love Jesus, I'm happy because He is mine. I love Him.
sing those songs with smiles.
Amen.
Because they are true and we believe them. Shall we sing number 397, When Jacob Met the Lord?
When Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night and wrestled there alone until the morning light and won a princely title to girdle for the run. I want that kind of blessing. I want that kind. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies the soul. I want that salvation to bring us of heaven's own.
Amen. We'll sing number 181 and then I'll ask the girls and Nico to come and sing.
It's going to be a meeting in the air, sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I long to meet you over there, away beyond the sky. Such
out of curiosity, does anybody know where Sister Anna is? She wasn't here this morning, was she?
No.
I thought something was out of place. No. Screen so we can all sing it. Oh. No, you're getting anywhere.
Sing what?
The whole thing.
Okay. Did you get that?
Everybody.
Yeah.
You can stand and sit as you please.
Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee.
Thanks, guys. Sorry for jumping that on you. Was there any testimonies this afternoon? I did have a little one. Just as Brother Howard was ministering the word this morning, along the same lines last night as I was choosing songs and things like that for this morning and today, I actually had this scripture run through my mind for some reason, and it made me think about this walk with the Lord. I'll just start from, it's Romans 9, 15 and 16. For he saith to Moses, I have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And that was a great comfort to me, because you sort of toil and struggle, but at the end of the day it's the Lord who's called you, and I'm not struggling with the fact that the devil can come in and tell you all sorts of things, but it's the Lord who showeth mercy and who's called us. And you may wonder, why me? It's because he chose you. It's not because you did anything to deserve it, but it's of his mercy and grace that he's done that for us. So if there was any others at all? Thanks, Brother Paul.
I just thank the Lord, because every day there's always something. I was just saying in the kitchen before, you'll suddenly think, oh, I'm not hurting in such a place where I was hurting before. Thank you, Lord. You just don't realise how very, very present he is in everything. I just give him thanks for good health and a sound mind and a wonderful life that's down here. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to praise the Lord. Last week I went up for prayer, and the yokes got broken, and I got anointed with oil, and I got healed. And it is solely such a blessing when you're in pain, and that the pain just goes. I just keep saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And people might have started sowing seeds of doubt, but I just said, no, I am healed, and I just give all glory to God.
Well, if there's no others, we'll sing number 383 in the restoration. It's Some Glad Morning When This Life Is All. And then I'll ask Brother Howard if you'd...
Some glad morning when this life is all.
Thank you, Brother Hildred.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Praise God. Who's looking to flying away?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what. It'll be so wonderful when we get there. We won't be coming back. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll come back to rule and reign with the Lord. That is true. But we're just longing for that hour. Praise be to God. Who's loving the Lord?
Amen.
You know, it's really good to testify what God's done for you. That's really good to hear those testimonies. And we serve a supernatural God. We should expect things to happen. Who's expecting God to move this afternoon?
Amen.
You don't have to do anything special. Just take him at his word, and God honors his word. So we praise him for that. Brother Brian, we'd like to just turn that fan on. Not a lot of air up here. So I just wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word before we come to the communion table. We're just going to bring a little word on communion with God. And we're going to read from Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That was Jesus Christ, if you're not sure. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." May God bless his word. I also like to read from John chapter 4, verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon, Lord, and we just pray that you would speak to us through your precious word. May we receive of thee, Lord, for your words are life to our souls, Lord. We pray that you would bless us with your word, Lord, before we come to this table, Lord. We commit it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, communion with God is the most important thing in our life. Absolutely. And no matter how busy we get, or how tired we get, or how happy we think we are, without communion with God, we are men and women most miserable. Who believes that? Say amen. We're not designed to go along. And interesting enough, God is not happy unless we are having communion with his children. So it was God who first instituted communion with man in the beginning, as we all know, and it has always been since. In the beginning, God communed with man in the cool of the evening. We can read that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Wouldn't it be wonderful to talk with the Lord in the cool of the day? Who'd love that?
Amen.
It's just wonderful, isn't it? "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to hide yourself from God? Because sin had entered in. Sin's a terrible separator. And so they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now God is always seeking the fellowship, not man. Adam wasn't looking for him. God was looking for Adam and Eve. And he said, "Adam, where art thou?" In Revelation 3:20 we read the following. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I call that communion. Who believes that's communion? John 4:23, "And the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." In both of these scriptures, it bears out the same truth. God is wanting fellowship and communion with man. It's very true. He's doing the looking. He's doing the hunting. Man's doing the hiding. Isn't it awful? And God is wanting fellowship and communion with us. But communion, as we said, is two-way. It's a two-way experience. You know, when you listen to a man speaking on the radio, for instance, and you're hearing him speak, that's not communion, because you can't talk back. And if you even listen to a preacher when he's preaching, that's not communion, because you cannot speak back. It's just all one way. So communion is when two people can put their feet under the table, as we'd say, and commune one with the other. There's no use just one man doing the talking. Sometimes you get with people and all they do is talk. You can never get a word in edgeways. You know, I said to my wife, sometimes when you meet people and you can't even talk to them, it's like being on the all-night program. You can't change it. It's just continually going, coming out. And so that's not communion, because we cannot speak back. So communion is when two can get together. And so is it with the Lord. How often when we pray, we do all the talking. Who agrees with that? We do all the talking. We don't do the listening. We don't stop and pause to see what God's going to do. We wait. Do we wait in quietness until he speaks back? That is what the communion table is all about. We first come to God in true repentance, as we said today, washed in the blood of Jesus. Then we need to be satisfied or made clean from the things of the world. God will not fellowship with sin. He will not do it. You can come and do what you want, but if there's sin in your life, you're allowing it to be there, God will just turn his back. He doesn't want to talk with it. God and sin do not go together very badly. So remember that, brothers and sisters. If you're not getting through to God, just check out and see if there's not something in your life that's holding you back from fellowship with God. There may be something you're doing that's offending him. Did you all hear me say amen?
Amen.
It can be something in your life that you're offending the Lord, and you wonder why you don't get into the presence of God. It's because he's been offended. Now, he'll forgive you, but you need to repent of it, as we said this morning. So may God help us all. And we need to be satisfied or made clean from the things of this world, which also is the working of the Holy Spirit, I believe. We must agree with all his word, for he is the word.
Amen.
God will always agree with his word and not argue or fuss over his word. Then we have real communion, if we can just say what his word says. Praise the Lord. So the communion table is not actual communion. Let that sink in. The communion table is not communion, but it's a remembrance of what God has done for us. The wine represents his blood. The bread represents his broken body. And that was for us to be brought into true communion. That's what he did it for. Because we were separated from God, he had to restore us back through a sacrifice. This represents the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ right here. And he gave it. Take this in remembrance of me. But this is not the communion. Your communion is with God. So it's no use just coming to the table and having a little bit of the wine and some bread and saying, I've had communion. You haven't had communion unless you're communicating with God. This represents where we were brought back to God through his broken body and the shed blood. Now Satan, with his devices of the world, has tried to quench a holy thirst in men. People today are trying to be satisfied, and they're trying to be satisfied, they're trying to satisfy with that holy thirst, that inward thirst. You know, like a man in the desert, when he becomes thirsty, this is what happens. Pray that none of you go through it. Some may have been through it. You get thirsty in the desert, and the devil will come and give you a vision. Does anyone know what the vision's called? Mirage. Do you know what it's called, Jackson? It's called a mirage. And you're dying of thirst. The mirage comes up. It happens lots of times. And the man can see a lagoon, all the palm trees. Says, water. Whoa, that's just what I'm wanting. But it's just a mirage from the enemy. He's thirsty. And he gives him this mirage. Something to take him further away off the road than ever. He goes running in the wrong direction. And doesn't know it, but his life is in jeopardy. And that's what the devil tries to do to you, to quench the holy thirst in your heart. Give you some entertainment, something that'll appeal to you, something that'll excite you, and you go chasing that, and you're getting further and further away from the Lord. It's not communion, is it? And Satan will continually put up false mirages of the world in your life to try and lure you away from the path of eternal life. But it doesn't matter what he does. He can never quench that holy thirst in your heart for God. If you're a child of God, it's there. The people came up this morning for prayer. They said they could have that hunger in their heart. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's God doing that. That's God creating that thirst in you. You may not be able to explain it with your mind, but in your heart of hearts, you know it's a deep hunger for him. And he has an interest in you too. It says here, talking about the water in John 4:14, Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's not talking about drinking H2O, the water we out of the tap. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a holy thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Who wants that water? Amen. I want that water, brother and sister. I'm thirsty for it. I'm thirsty for that touch of God, for the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So the water is on, not even on sale here this afternoon. It's available to all of those of you that are listening, wherever you are. What a wonderful promise to a thirsting soul. He that hungereth and thirsteth shall be filled. I just think that's so wonderful. What a wonderful promise to a thirsty soul. In this last age in which you're living in, this is Laodicea. This is the last church age, the Laodicean church age we see from the scriptures. It's a dry and thirsty land, spiritually speaking. And we're actually in a spiritual famine for the word of God. The days will come, the Lord says in Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not for the famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. People are dying of thirst out in Gisborne here. They haven't got the word of God. They may have entertainment. That's not going to do it. Some people go to church and they just get entertained. They never hear the word. Brothers and sisters, we really need to seek the Lord. The famine for the hearing of the word of God has crept up upon us. Brother and sister, we each need to shake ourselves. Now, famines do not come overnight. They're not an overnight thing. And neither do spiritual famines. There's nothing worse. We see a hungry person that is starving to death. But after that person has been hungry for so long, they get to the place they do not know that they are hungry. Isn't that amazing? They get used to being hungry. The same thing happens when people become cold. After a while, they get so cold, they don't feel the cold the same. They've just got used to it. The truth is, they're beginning to freeze. Eventually, they feel tired. And they lay down to sleep, never to rise again. Don't let us get that place, brother and sister. Don't get used to being hungry for God. You start seeking with all your heart today. When you go home tonight, start waiting on the Lord. Lord, I am thirsty, Lord. I realize that I actually need this communion with you. So the church of Laodicea, that's our day, has become colder and colder until they do not realize just how cold they really are. And Jesus said that about our day in Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, that's sin, it's just everywhere, the love of many shall wax cold. Terrible. They get colder and colder and colder. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And what did the Lord say about Laodicea? In Revelation chapter 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. God doesn't like a lukewarm believer. People in this world and in this message have become blinded by the mirages of riches, increase of goods, and the cares of this life, which have frozen us in our tracks. We've become cold and alienated from God. You know, I was saying this morning, I heard that song being sung way back in the revival days with the tent meetings. We don't do it like we don't live well like we used to live. We do things we never used to do. That's awful, isn't it? We've lost something. We've lost our sincerity. We've lost our genuineness. It's just a play along. May God be merciful to each one of us. We're frozen in our tracks, as it were. We've become cold and alienated from God, serving the world instead of God. And people don't know it. They can go to church and still serve the world. You can go to church and still serve the world, chasing after the world. But people fail to realize they are unknowingly, spiritually dying. Like we said about a natural man, he gets so tired, so thirsty. He gets weak and tired and he lays down to sleep, never to rise again. And that's what the Bible has foretold for this day. He says, the Lord said, and knowest not. In other words, we're not aware that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Who is he speaking to? The church. That's what Jesus said about this generation. May God help us all. Living under the false mirage of church fellowship, or being warmed by church membership and fellowship of friends. Now, these things may be all right. Nothing wrong with that. But people are slowly dying. This is a word to us here this afternoon. People are slowly dying because of the lack of fellowship and communion, not with the church, but with God. So warm to social life and entertainment, but so cold to holy communion and fellowship with God. Now, brother and sister, you may not realize it, but I'm telling you the truth. We need to all wake up. Like a freezing person, so cold they fall asleep, never to wake again, because the blood has frozen in their veins. You know the story about the frogs. Who remembers the story about the frogs? You know the story about the frogs? Frogs. Yeah, I'll tell you. They had a big pond. They had all these frogs in there. They're doing an experiment. So they got the frogs in the cold pond, and they threw them into the hot pond, and you know what happened? They jumped straight out because they felt it hot. Then they got the same frogs back in the cold. And what they did, they didn't put them into the hot pond. They just started heating the cold very slowly. And eventually they were swimming around. Whew, it's getting warm in here, they thought. But they didn't jump out. But something was changing. Their life is changing. The pond was starting to get hotter and hotter. They didn't even know it. After a while they got used to it. They got too tired until they got to the place where they realised they should really get out, and they had no strength to jump. So many Christians in this hour, that's what's happening to them. They didn't realise that they were going cold, and now it's too late. They cannot get out of it. So may we ask the Lord to do something for us. If we are hungering and thirsting for that wonderful communion with God, Jesus said in John 6:55, "For my flesh and meat is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." That's what we're going to remember this afternoon. This is what the true communion is all about. Not just eating the bread and drinking the wine, but fully partaking of Him. And He is the Word of God. Jesus said, "You and me and I and you." It's just a wonderful union and communion. This peace quenches our thirst. Hallelujah. It quenches our thirst, our communion with God. The only way to overcome is down on our knees until we are in communion with God and hear from Him. And what did Jesus say in John 15:7? "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Isn't that wonderful? If you feel the deep call of God, a still small voice calling you, then He has an interest in you still. As we said this morning, it's by the goodness of God that He leads you to repentance. You can't repent until He does that. And He wants to have communion with you. This world is totally finished, brother and sister. You don't have to be very smart to know that. We're just treading water, waiting for the hour. Could be all on tomorrow morning, all we know. And He wants us to have communion with Him. But God is still calling in this late hour, a bride unto Himself. If you feel Him knocking, just open the door of your heart and let Him come in. You know why Jesus is knocking? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Somebody answer the door. You're the only one who can do that. He won't come crashing into your life, so come to take over. He'll never do it. He's knocking. You have to open the door and let Him come in. I'll just tell you the story. It's true. Famous artist did a painting of Jesus at the heart's door. He's holding the lantern. You've probably seen that painting. And it's all the brides around the heart's door. And so it was very famous, and it went into the Hall of Critics. And it went through the judges and everything. They came and they said to him, "Painter, artist, your painting is very fine. Love the way you've matched the colours. That's beautiful. And everything you've done is really nice, but there's something missing." They said, "You've done it all perfect. The heart's door, the Lord standing there, but you forgot the handle, the latch to open the door." He said, "Sorry, judges. I didn't put a handle on the outside of the door, because the heart's door can only be opened from the inside." No one can open that door for you. The Lord can't even open it. You have to open it of your own volition. Say, Lord, I want to do it. I want you to come and sup with me and commune with me. So, brothers and sisters, we come round the table. We're going to remember this wonderful union that he has brought to us through Calvary. This is a remembrance table. And I pray that God will really bless us and help us as we come to him now. So I wonder if we could just stand for a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in your wonderful name, Lord. We're just praying, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. As we come around this table, Lord, have we made that choice to really follow you? To know what we're taking. We're not just going through a ritual, a church ritual. We're doing this in remembrance of you paying a great price to restore us back into the family of God. And Lord, as we partake, I pray it'll be real to each person. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we just sing a song, Brother Peter? And then we'll come around the table together. You got one on your heart, Brother Peter? Okay.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
Doesn't say take his cross. Take your cross. This walk has a cross to carry. Your cross. You have to have a Gethsemane. You have to make these decisions yourself. So brothers and sisters, let's just sing this with understanding. Take thy cross and follow me.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
The garden was not a rose garden. It was Gethsemane. And we're going to have our Gethsemane too. So as we come around the table, I just pray that each one of us will just reach out and touch the Lord. I'm going to turn in the Word of God here before we start. Brother Brian, we'd like to ask the Lord to just bless this time, please.